We'll see. We're continuing Emirat Hashem on Yud Amud Beis 10b at the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, Bodkin Ba'ar Ba'asar, Bodkin Ar Ba'asar, Uba'ar Ba'asar Shachris. We go ahead and we do Bedikas Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bedikas Chametz on the night of Erev Pesach, the night of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, Bishas Habir, and ultimately again at the time when we actually burn the chametz. So interestingly enough, Sadek Rabbi Yehuda is actually saying that we do bedikas chametz three times. The Chacham says no. You only do bedika once. However, lo badak or arba'asar yivdok ba'arba'asar. If you did not check the evening of the 14th, so you go out and you check on the day of the 14th, the morning. Lo badak ba'arba'asar yivdok b'soch hamoed. If you didn't check at all on erev Pesach, so you go ahead and you check during Yontif itself. We'll discuss why that is. La badak pesocha moed. If you didn't do bedikas chametz during Yomtiv, yivdok la'achra moed. Ultimately, again, you should go ahead and check after Yomtiv. Again, we'll define the parameters of this machlokas. So mashem eshayer. Now, is after you do bedikas chametz, whatever chametz you leave over, right? Because again, a person is allowed to eat chametz after they do bedikas chametz. So whatever you leave over, yani chena betzina. So make sure that you put it in a safe place. Kadesh lo yehit tzarech bedika acharav. In order that you shouldn't have to do a second bedika. So very reminiscent of the Gemaras that we saw before with all of the interesting cases, you know, about the chulda, the weasel. The idea over here is whatever you're going to leave over, make sure you leave it in a safe and secure place. Otherwise, you may run the risk of having to do another bedika. Incredible. Okay, says the Gemara. My time to Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda require three different bedikas? Rav Chista, Rav Avuna, the Amri Tarbai, who can I get shalosh hashbasas Shabbat Torah? So the Torah uses the lashon of hashbasa, which means destruction of chametz, three times. Where is it three times? Number one, lo yira lecha chametz, lo yira lecha sar, shivas yomim sar lo yimatze v'vaseichem, ach be'amarishon tashbis esar mivateichem. So three different prohibitions, so to speak, three different mentionings of the prohibition of chametz. Rabbi Yehuda understands this to mean that aloch lemais you have to check for chametz three times. Master Rabbi Yosef Rossi says, one second, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kol shelo badak b'shlosha prakim halalu shuv ina bodek. Alma b'mikan ve'ilechu depligi. Now, interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda says like this: whoever did not check for chametz during one of these aforementioned times, meaning the night of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, or the time of the bedika, shuvin abodik, doesn't do bedikas chametz anymore. Alma b'mikan ve'ilechu depligi. So what do you see from here? That halacha lemaisa, really, the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda are only arguing about what happens if you miss bedika on the 14th, but all seem to be agreeing that you're doing three. Marzutra masni ochi. Marzutra said as follows: Masir Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol shelo badak be'echad mishlosha prakim halalu shuv eina bodek. Alma b'shuv eina bodek hu depligi. So again, the Gemara says just Marzutra just had a different version of the question, but the question is the same, which is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is not on the number of bedikas, but rather again, what happens if you miss the bedika ultimately again on Erev Pesach, to which the Gemara says, El Rabbi Yehuda nami im lo badak kamar. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says as follows: Rabbi Yehuda is also talking about the idea that in other words, im lo badak. In other words, he's also agreeing that it's not really that there's three bedikas, but rather again, there's an obligation for bedika. And if you did not do it, how do you follow up? Marsavar mikame isura in baser isura lo. So interestingly enough, so here's their machlokas. So Rabbi Yehuda ultimately holds that the chi of bedika is only before the time of Isur Chametz, but not after the time of Isur Chametz. In other words, once the zman for Isur Chametz comes along, Rabbi Yehuda says there is no chi of bedika. Why not? There's a concern that if you do bedika after the zman of Isra of chametz, the concern is you might find chametz and come to eat it. But Rabbanan savri lo gazrinan. The Rabbanan say, no, we're not gozer. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is just reframing this. Here's the machlokes. So everyone is agreeing that ideally you go ahead and you do bedikas chametz ultimately again on the night of the 14th. If you didn't do it the night of the 14th, you'll do it the morning of the 14th. If you didn't do it the morning of the 14th, you'll do it at the time of beer chametz. what happens if the time for Isser Chametz came along and you still did not do your Bedika? Do you do Bedika at the time of Isser Chametz? Rabbi Huda says, no, because we don't want you searching out Chametz, because we're afraid that if you find something, you may come to eat it. The Rabbanan say, no, we're not worried about that. Umigaz Rabbi Huda, Dama Asala Mechaminei. Does Rabbi Huda really hold that I have to be concerned that you're going to come to eat the Chametz after the Zman Isser if you're looking for it? V'hal Tanan, we learn, Mishekarav HaOmer, Yotzin Umotzin Shuki Yerushalayim Shem Meleim Kemach V'Kali. When you offer up the carbon omer, remember again, the carbon omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, allows for the consumption of chadash. Chadash is the new grain that's been planted since last Pesach. So right after the omer was offered, what would happen? You'd go into the marketplace of Yerushalayim and find it filled with flour and other grain, all from chadash, from the new crop. We'll say yud aleph amud aleph. Shelo b'rtzon chum me'osim d'Rameir. So again, Rameir says they did not like this. They did not like this. The reason they didn't like this is, as much as no one was eating anything before the Omer was offered, but they were preparing it. And the concern was, because they were preparing it, they may come ultimately again to eat it. Rabbi Huda says, no, Bersona Cham Hayu Olsin. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not a problem. Cham, we're okay with this. V'logazer Rabbi Huda Dilma Asi L'mei Chaminei. What do you see from here? Rabbi Huda allowed them to prepare the Chadash produce and wasn't concerned that if they come to prepare the produce, that they will go ahead and come to eat from it. So Behuda says, you see from here, that we allow you to handle prohibited things, and we're not concerned that you may come to eat from it. Amar Rava, Rava says, Shiny Chadash, Chadash is different. Mitok shlo hitartalo ela ayidei kitof hu zachar. Since when you picked grain before the carbon omer was offered, you have to pick it with a shinui. Literally, again, you have to pluck the stalks by hand, and you couldn't use a sickle. So since it was harvested with a shinui, people realized that it's different, and therefore they're not going to come to eat it. That's fine at the time of the actual harvesting. What about when you actually grind up the grain, when you sift it out? So again, don't you have to be concerned that people are going to eat it? Halokashia, tchina berechayed yad, harkoda agabe nafo. So it's not a problem. They would do with the shinui also. Ultimately, when grinding it, they would use a hand mill as opposed to a larger mill. And ultimately, again, when sifting it, they would use the back of the sieve. In other words, they would do with the shinui. So every step of preparation was done with the shinui. And therefore, there was no concern that one would come to partake of the grain. To which the Gemara says, Allahadisnan, coats from Beis HaShachar Shabbat Mokim, Avalo Gochin. So the Gemara says, but 1 second. So the Gemara says that Halacha L'maisa, even before the Omer is offered, right, you're allowed to go ahead and literally harvest from fields that are fed through irrigation in the valleys, right? And you don't have to employ a shinui. Avalo gochin, but ultimately, again, you can't stack the grain. Vokimnak Rabbi Huda. And ultimately, again, we say that's like Rabbi Huda. So this is very interesting because you're allowing the harvesting to take place without a shinui. But shouldn't we be concerned that one is going to come to partake of prohibited items? Michael and Amar, El Amra Abaye, Chadash Badal Mine, Chamis Labadal Mine. Here's the fundamental difference. People are careful with Chadash, right? In other words, the whole year you're not eating Chadash. So therefore, again, we're confident that you can maintain that appropriate level of abstention from chadash until the carbon omer is offered. That is different than chametz. Chametz, a person is eating chametz the entire year. We have to be concerned. We have to be concerned that a person may come to eat chametz. That's why Rabbi Huda holds that halacha l'maisa, if the time, once the time of beer comes, if you did not do bedikas chametz, Rabbi Huda says, we don't want you doing it. We don't want you doing it because we are concerned lest you go ahead and find it and come to eat it. Amar Rabbi says as follows: to Rabbi Huda, to Rabbi Huda kashya, to Rabban, to Rabban lo kashya. You're only focusing on the contradictory shitas of Rabbi Huda. What about the Rabbanon? What about the Rabbanon? Remember again, to Rabbi Huda, to Rabbi Huda lo kashya kideshaninon. So again, Rabbi Huda, we just answered it up, the distinction between chadash and chametz. Drabbanan nami lo kashya. So ultimately, again, but again, same idea, that the chachamim ultimately, again, didn't like people preparing chadash, but yet they're okay with bedikas chametz even after the zman iser. Why the distinction? To which the Gemara answers, "Hu atzma mechazer alav l'sarfo mechal ka'achu minei." The Gemara says, "Come on, doesn't make any sense." Drabbanan say like this. If a guy is searching for chametz, why is he searching for chametz? To destroy it. If he's searching for it to destroy it, he's not going to come to eat it. That doesn't make any sense, that you have to be concerned that while he's looking for it to destroy it, he's going to come to eat it. That's illogical. Rav Asher says, Rav Huda, Rav Huda, lo kashya. Kamach kalitnan. So the Gemara says, also Rabbi Huda is not contradicting himself. Why? Because again, if you notice in the Mishnah, it was talking about kamach kali. Kamach kali is flour or grain that's dried out in the oven. Either way, those you can't eat those items raw. So because not going to eat them raw, there's no real concern that a person is going to come to consume anything. So the Gemara says, Had Ravashi bedusahi. Ravashi's statement is actually mistaken. Hat tenach me kali ve'elach. So again, the Gemara says that's fine once it becomes dried out in the oven. But beforehand, technically speaking, I guess it is consumable. To which the Gemara says v'chitemo ayide kituf. So maybe again because you're harvesting it with a shinui, right? You're harvesting it by hand as opposed to a sickle. So maybe you don't have to be concerned. What about the fact that we said that you can harvest grain from the valleys, from the irrigated fields in the valleys without a shinui? What is there to say? Ella, Ravashi bedusihi. Rather, again, you have to say ultimately again that Ravashi's statement ultimately again is mistaken. And therefore, again, the way to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is at the end of the day like this. Rabbi Yehuda is like this. When it comes to chametz that a person eats all year, we are concerned that if we tell you to do bedika even after the time of Isser, you will come to accidentally eat the chametz. Chadash, which a person is used to abstaining from all year around, we're not concerned that a person is going to come to eat it. In other words, we employ the necessary shinuyim, and we are confident that a person is going to be careful. So is that true that in any case where we have to be concerned that a person is not going to keep their distance from the Isser, Rabbi Yehuda is gozer, v'hatinan, lo yikov adam shofar shabet, v'imalena shemen, v'yitnena bitzad haner, v'shil she'etehem in atafas. This is an interesting case here. So imagine the following. It's Hilchos Shabbos. So imagine the Gemara says a person shouldn't fill up an eggshell with oil and then put a little hole in the eggshell so that the eggshell goes ahead and drips oil into a lamp, into a nair, right? So if you can imagine, you have a utensil, it has a wick in it, you suspend an egg over it with a perforation on the bottom, you fill the egg with oil, and it drips oil into the lamp. You should not do that. You should not do that. Vafilu hishal cheres. Even if the lamp itself is earthenware, so that the lamp itself, you know, makes everything disgusting, you still shouldn't do it. Now, what's the concern over here? The concern over here is that one may come to remove some of the oil, which could potentially be part of the prohibition of mechave, of extinguishing. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda Matir? Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutter. Now again, obviously oil is something that people use all year around. Why isn't Rabbi Yehuda concerned that a person will come to easily violate Shabbos in this regard? To which the Gemara says, Hasam chumra de Shabbos mivdal bedili. The Gemara says, no, it's very different. Why is it different over there? Because halacha lemaisa shilcho Shabbos is chamer, and people generally stay away ultimately again on hilcho Shabbos. Okay? The Gemara says, Virami. Actually, we'll say, no, it will stop. Well, let's virami de Shabbos ad the Shabbos. Aye, but 1 second. What about? We can bring another contradiction from Shabbos. Disanyo chevel d'lishin ifsak. If you have a pail, right, a bucket that's tied with a rope, and ultimately, again, there's the rope ripped. Lo ye kosher. You should not tie the rope together again, right? In other words, the rope is still attached to the bucket, but the rope itself rips. Now, you want to tie the ends of the rope together. You can't do that because that's kshira, that's kosher. Tying a permanent knot is asar on Shabbos. Ela onvo. You can tie it with a bow, which is considered to be temporary. Rabbi Huda says, kore chalof punda o piskayo. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not a problem. You could put a belt around it. In other words, essentially attach the two ends with a belt. Ubilad shalo ya'an beno. But ultimately, again, don't do a bow. Now, what's the concern with the bow? We're concerned, Rabbi Huda seems to be concerned that if you tie a bow, you may come to tie a regular knot. So, kashya Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda. So, obviously, again, what do you see over here? That Rabbi Huda, halacha lemaisa, again, is saying you can't tie the ends with a belt, but yet Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned that you'll come to take some of the oil from the egg. Kashed Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, sorry, Kashed Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Kashed Rabbanan, Rabbanan. To which the Gemara says, Rabbanan, Rabbanan, lo kashya. The Gemara says, the truth is, there's not a kashya on the Rabbanan. Why? Shemen b'shemen michlof. Ultimately, again, the truth is, halacha lemaisa, there is a concern because one could get confused with oil. In other words, the oil that you have in the nair, in the lamp, is the same thing as the oil you use the entire year. Aniva b'kshira lo michlaf. People don't confuse tying a bow with tying a knot. They're fundamentally different acts. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha. So too again, Rabbi Yehuda is also ultimately again not contradicting himself. How so? Time with Rabbi Yehuda la mishum the gazer aniva to kshira el mishum the kasavra aniva gufa kshirhi. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that if you tie a bow, you may come to tie a knot. That's not his concern. His concern actually is that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a bow is a form of a knot, and therefore even tying a bow on Shabbos is going to be asur midaraisa. Interesting. So now the Gemara jumps to the Rabbanon. Let's contrast the opinions of the Rabbanon. This nan koshun dali bepiskayo. Ultimately, again, so the rabbi said, right, the Rabbanon said, that Allah Chalamaisa, you can go ahead and, on Shabbos, you could tie a bucket. You could tie a bucket, ultimately, again, to a, or I should say, you could go ahead and tie a bucket, pepiskaya, means with like a, Not a formal rope, but some other temporary item. But not avalo bechevel. Rabbi Huda ultimately says that it's motor. Says the Gemara, what's going on over here? Chevel demai. What type of rope are we talking about over here? Ilema chevel de alma. If it's a regular rope, for Rabbi Huda matir. So Rabbi Huda says that it's motor. Keshos shakayamo hu devade aser levatule. See, here's the problem. Should we be concerned that he's going to tie a regular knot, right? And he's going to leave it in place? Is that not problematic? Ella pshita de gardi. Rather, it must be some type of temporary rope, like a weaver's rope. So remember, that rope is not really good for long term use. So he's not going to leave it tied to the pail. The gazur rabbanon chevel de gardi atu chevel de almi. And rabbanon were concerned that if you use a weaver's rope, you may come to go ahead and use a regular rope. So Gemara says in. The Gemara says yeah. That the Gemara says halacha lemaisa. Ultimately, again, the rabbis won't allow you to use a weaver's rope, lest you come to use a regular rope. Why? Chevel bechevel michlaf. Because ultimately, again, one could easily confuse one type of rope with another type of rope. In other words, it's not a crazy thing to think that if we let you use a weaver's rope, you're going to come to use another type of rope. Aniva bikshira lo michlafa. But ultimately, again, tying a bow is different. It's not really, people don't confuse that ultimately, again, with tying a knot. They're two fundamentally different tying practices, and therefore we are not concerned. So we'll stop over here for today. Again, so we'll see the resolution of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanim tomorrow's shir. Shkayach, everyone.